It's 25 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Darren, you and I have always been and we are always grateful for the quality of people and the difference that many people make in our lives. And we're absolutely delighted to have our next person on the phone, and that's none other than Professor Tony Cunningham, AO-FAHMS. And I say that from the point of view of him receiving his AO for the work he did and has done for, and continues to do for medical research. When you look at his CV, Director, Centre for Virus Research, Professor of the Faculty of Medicine and Health, the University of Sydney, Director, Australia Centre for HIV and Hepatitis Virology Research. Professor Tony, thanks for joining us today, and we thank you first and foremost for your continued research, unabated, for, you know, some 40, 50 years that you've continued to pioneer changes for people in their lives. We thank you so much for what you've done for other people who continue the journey that you've been on and can you continue to do.
Thanks, Jim. People have said I've started with HIV and I'm not finishing, but certainly we've now got COVID, so never discount infectious diseases.
If you don't mind, if I can call you Tony.
Sure.
Tony, we use the term COVID. We throw it around as if we all assume we understand what it is. Can you, in a quasi-technical but practical way, when we look at the news tonight and we look at something, that we have a better understanding of the concept or term COVID?
So COVID is the disease. The virus is a sort of a complex term of SARS-CoV-2. So I'm not going to use that because everybody uses COVID. But the virus that causes the disease is one of the coronaviruses. And we know them because they circulate and cause the common cold this outbreak, but the two nasty coronaviruses, one causing SARS, which occurred in the early 2000s, and then about a decade later, one called MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. They only really affected between 2,000 and 8,000 people worldwide, and they didn't spread like this one. So there's a little bit of complacency, I think, when we first looked at this virus and thought maybe it'll behave like SARS and it won't cause asymptomatic infection, which has been important in its spread. It won't spread via aerosol, which it does. So you've got to be careful to make assumptions from one virus to the next. We often do that and make mistakes.
I thank you for sharing that with us. Your whole world has been about research. This particular type of virus, what is it doing to keeping you up at night in the sense of trying to find cures and the implications and ramifications of this particular virus?
Well, I have a particular interest in vaccines and particularly vaccines in aging people. And COVID, the disease, is 25-fold more lethal in people over the age of 80 in terms of death rates and 5-fold more in people between the ages of 70 and 80. And it's 4-fold more in people who receive transplants and immunosuppressed. So you can see why we've had such a terrible time in Britain with the aged care facilities there and even in Victoria. So clearly my interest is in the vaccines that might prevent the aging population. I think we've all been pleasantly surprised by just how good the RNA vaccines have been. And I spent a bit of my time working on the shingles vaccines, the old one and the new one about to come. And that's given us a few lessons about understanding how these vaccines work. So we're still probing this and we're using models of human lymph nodes, because after you inject the vaccine into the muscle, the vaccine flows into the lymph glands or lymph nodes in the armpit, and that's the little factory that goes to work and produces the immunity that protects us against COVID and a whole lot of other viruses. And we can do better. We can do better with flu, and we can do better with certain other diseases of the aging, such as pneumonia. So my overall interest is not just in COVID, but also in all of those vaccine-preventable diseases in the aging population. They're not nearly as good as kids, or it's 90% in the flu immunization. The aging is only about 50% effective, and when this pandemic passes, we've got to be very careful we don't get other pandemics, other coronaviruses, other influenzas, and we have to protect that aging population.
Tony, it's Darren here. Thank you for sharing that importance for the aging population, but also just sharing that story. And it's just coming to me now that this is a once-in-a-lifetime lesson we're having about viruses and vaccines as well. And that leads me on to my question. So we have the different sort of viruses around, the RNA style virus, and then also, vaccine, I should say, and other vaccines. I actually had my Pfizer vaccine on Monday at the centre there in Sydney Olympic Park. Very efficient, very well done. But just what are the differences there, and what are the complications as far as the messaging we're needing to get out about who's good for what, and that actually this is a good thing to do to go and find your vaccination?
Yeah, well, I think you're absolutely right, Darren. We know that before the COVID came along, that as far as vaccines are concerned, about 5% of people will completely balk at vaccines. Nothing you can do to convince them will convince them to have a vaccine. About 15% of people are what are called hesitant. You'll hear that term thrown around in the media now. And that means that they're a bit scared of the vaccines in general. And we found certainly with the shingles vaccine that one of the things that helps is really a chat with your general practitioner. They're the most trusted person in people's lives. So that's one of the reasons why the health authorities decided to roll out most of the vaccines, particularly in aging people who are a little bit concerned about these things, through their general practitioners. So now we've got a choice. We've got the hubs like at Westmead and RPA and many other places where you can get your Pfizer vaccine. We've got the general practice rollout, which in fact has been greater in terms of the AstraZeneca vaccine so far than any of the hubs. And now we've got the mass vaccination hub, which I think will serve those people who don't worry about this too much. Like you, they know the vaccines are going to protect them. And if you match up the risk of COVID versus the risk of immunization, it's so much outweighed by immunization, you'd be crazy not to have it. But some people are concerned, and it's best for them to discuss things with their GP and see if we can really get Australia up to more than 80% immunized. All we need is one outbreak, and you might be the unlucky person standing next to someone who's got it.
Professor Tony Cunningham is sharing with us this morning the whole concept with regards to COVID vaccinations and so on. It's really a delight to have you on the line, Tony. We're going to go to a little break, and then we're going to come back and find out a little bit more about where you are investigating, what you're working with, and, you know, what you want to try and achieve over your lifetime going forward. So it's really a delight to have you on our line. Darren Jim on Spotlight on 90.5 FM.
Live 90.5. It's 11 minutes to 12, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
And absolutely delighted to have on the line Professor Tony Cunningham from the Westmead Institute for Medical Research, talking all about viruses and COVID, and just really informing us and helping us to better understand these terrible infections and viruses that are with us today. Tony, can I ask you, there seems to be a bit of, I call it pub talk, discussions which I think don't have much merit, but there's a number of people saying you shouldn't have your COVID shots and you shouldn't do this. You must get very disappointed when you hear those particular comments.
Yes, my whole family has been immunised, so I'm leading from the front, so to speak. And my son's just had his first, and my daughter's in Washington and has been surrounded by COVID for over a year, where she's an academic. I think we've been very lucky in this country, and we've heard a lot of discussion in the media recently about opening up and all the rest of it. And my concern will be that we might find that, 70-80% of the country immunised, and then 20-30% are not. And amongst those people are highly vulnerable people, because they've been really given the wrong message. And those people might still be vulnerable, either travelling themselves or people coming into the country. And as I said, 5 to 20-fold increased chance of death. And if you have the vaccine with COVID, that shrinks away to nothing. So it's a pretty clear equation to me, I think. And there's often sometimes not logic in this. There's a bit of emotion, or there's a feeling that we're okay at present, and not really understanding how things can change so quickly, as we saw in Victoria.
And Tony, that's why I was raising that. When you say, and there is this school of thought, and if we extrapolate that to 20% of Australia's population of 25, and I know there's young children and different cohorts and so on, but even if we said that was 500,000 to a million people walking around who have not taken those steps, that's a great concern.
It is indeed. This is the greatest threat we've had in 100 years. And Australia has been incredibly good and incredibly lucky. And I think lucky because, in essence, we're an island and we could sit back and watch the disasters that happened overseas in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in their winter. So I think we've become somewhat complacent. Yeah. And also, I think the incredibly rare side effects, which exceed any other risks that we continue to take, including crossing the road, seem to be magnified in people's imaginations way beyond the risk of COVID. If you're actually looking at an epidemic every day, like my daughter was in Washington, and scared stiff, to be honest, of getting it, even though she's only in her 30s, because people die still in their 30s. You've got a different take on things. And I'm sure our Victorian colleagues, and many of my Victorian colleagues, are much more wary and concerned than some others in Australia.
Now, Tony, it's Darren here. I know you've been working on, as a contributing author, to the risk of COVID-19 recurrence in winter. Now, we're coming up to winter. Is that a real risk? And we're talking about those populations who won't get vaccinated, and getting winter coming. Is there a risk that we're going to have a third wave that's going to be as prevalent as we're seeing overseas?
Well, we reviewed this once for the Academies of Science and Health and Medical Science to go to the ministers, and there's no doubt that these viruses survive better in winter, and we crowd together in warm, cosy areas more so in winter than we do in summer, where people tend to eat outside. So the risk is increased. Now, we've been extremely good at containing the virus, and often I don't think sufficient credit is given to how well we've done in containing the virus as it comes into the country, into quarantine. And that includes these new variant strains that spread more rapidly. So as I said, I think that I have great confidence in our public health people, but if we're unlucky and if it got out, then it's worse to have that happen in winter than it is in summer. That's not the major determinant. The major determinant is people not being immunised, being close to each other, not wearing masks indoors, and also being subject indoors to what we now know as aerosol spread. They're more important than the season.
Professor Tony Cunningham, on behalf of our listeners, behalf of the Australian community, thank you so much for your continued support and utilising your talents that you have. You're an incredible academic, incredible practitioner, critical doctor and professor. We're just so grateful that you continue to do the work to help our community become better informed and have a better health potentially as a result of your knowledge and your colleagues. On behalf of Spotlight, thank you so much, Darren, and I've really enjoyed you on our show this morning.
Thanks, Jim. As the song says, imagine if we have a world free of COVID.
Imagine indeed. Thank you and have a great day.
See you then.
Alive 90.5.